on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
29 to 11 at Sky Sports Radio. This time from The Pace, the man with all the news on harness is Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. We've got a big show today. We're going to concentrate on what happened at Bathurst on Saturday night. That was the main meeting in New South Wales on the weekend. Of course, no racing on Friday with Good Friday. We're going to actually discuss that on In The Gig tonight. Should harness racing jump on what we saw in galloping on Friday in Perth with the Good Friday racing? We'll talk more about that on In The Gig on Sky Racing 2 tonight from 6. But we did see some great racing action at Bathurst on Saturday night with the running of the Gold Crown and the Gold Tiara. So my guests, we're going to talk to John Dumazy. Now, we'll talk to John about what actually happened with the lights there at Bathurst. Also want to talk to John about a few other things. We'll speak with David Jack. Now, he trained the winner of the Gold Tiara Major Kiss, and he has had the breed for quite some time. He bought the Grand Dam of this mare from Mick Lombardo at Mick's dispersal sale a number of years ago. He bred a mare called Kiss Kenny out of her. And he had a lot of success with Kiss Kenny. She won a number of races, including a heat of the Gold Tiara. And he then bred Kiss Kenny to Art Major and the resultant foal Major Kiss. And she, of course, won a heat and final of the Gold Tiara. So we'll have a chat to David about her. We'll speak with Gary Meredith this morning. He is the owner of College Chapel, who won the Gold Crown. Freddie spoke with Bernie Hewitt on Sunday morning after winning the crown. Gary wasn't at the races on Saturday night. We'll let him tell the story why he wasn't there. He hasn't missed a race for quite a while, but he did miss the races on Saturday night. And Ben Hagney, he's going to join me as well. And you'll find out why Ben's going to join me in just a moment. But John Dumazy is the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales. He was a worried man on Saturday night. He was like an expectant father, standing there waiting for the electricians, trying to get the boys to, or hoping the boys could get the lights to work after the first three races were run on Saturday night. And unfortunately for the club, the lights went out and it didn't look promising. But the good news was the electricians got the lights switched on and everything was able to go ahead. But John Dumazy is, as I mentioned, the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales, and he joins me on the show. Morning, John.
Morning, Greg. I don't think it was as troublesome as having my wife having children, is what it was, waiting for those lights and those boys to do what they did on Saturday night. But they certainly did a great job to resurrect that meeting, because at one stage we had decided to look at Sunday afternoon to continue on.
Yeah, I don't think people realise how close that meeting was to being pushed to Sunday. The stewards had been told to go and tell the trainers to go home and come back on Sunday. And basically it was a plea from the electricians to say, look, give us 10, give us 15 more minutes. We'll have one more go. There's one more thing we can try to try and get these lights to come back on.
Yeah, certainly. That was the case. When you see the damage that had been caused through just through a malfunction in that electrical box, it was certainly, a worry. Ben Hagney and his cousin Jack and the White brothers, McCroy and Hudson, and with a little bit of help from the audio-visual guy, Jason Davis, they did a marvellous job. They sat back after we actually had decided to postpone. They sat back and they said, no, please, just give us 10 more minutes. Well, the 10 more minutes went a bit longer than that. But they did a great job. But I must say, we were within 3 minutes of the starter calling the horses up for race 4. Had that incident occurred during that race, I can't imagine what a disaster it would have been. And then we say that, well, only these happened on the big nights, because this could have easily happened at the trials or at any time. It was going to occur. It was because of a little bit of installation issues, as it appears, in that box. So we're only so lucky that it all worked out so well.
It's amazing to think that the move to the new Bathurst track, what it's done for racing in the Central West, to think that two-year-olds can go sub 155 on a track, it's just amazing.
It's a track. It's now into its third year. It's settled so very well, and tracks do take time to settle. And at all times, the club, Danny Dwyer and Wayne Barker and the rest of the team there are looking at ways to improve. And, of course, Harness Racing New South Wales is in a strong partnership with the Bathurst Harness Racing Club, and things will improve in every aspect. Would you believe that we're only 3 weeks away from installing a generator to run the lighting system both on the track and in the stables? So that, you know, that may have helped us some in some way. Not really, when you know what the extent of the damage was there. But it's things that we're doing to enhance these properties. And when you say it's improved racing, well, the track surface has really matured now. The material that we're using is A1. It's very much similar to what's used at Tabcorp Park Menangle, and what we will use at other tracks as well. So it's all for the benefit of the horses and the horsemen, the owners, of course, to give equal and better opportunities to win races.
After the Carnival of Miracles wraps up in February, the month of March, we see the country take centre stage on a Saturday night. Now we're back into April, and it moves back to Menangle Saturday night, and we see the M1, if you like, return, and we still will have the conditioned racing, but the M1 racing returns as well. So it's a change again. How do you think the trainers will respond to it?
Well, it's actually what the greater majority of trainers wanted was with the M1. So we'll see. It's a trial basis. We'll certainly look at the wagering outlook of it. But what I can say, the nominations for Saturday night are good. There is more than a full field nominated for the M1. So there is an acceptance there from trainers to try the M1. They see it as if they can win their MO and then their M1, it's returned to the owners a reasonable amount of money before they do have to step up into that the divided division to the levels at Menangle. So it's we look at everything carefully, and we take probably small steps or slow steps to ensure that we are satisfying our customers, who are the trainers and the owners of these horses.
Now, what about Bob Paskey? I believe not as all well with Bob.
No, Bob, he's our caller up in the northwest, Tamworth and the smaller tracks up there. And unfortunately for Bob, he suffered a stroke on the weekend, and our best wishes go out to Bob for a full recovery. To his wife, June, and the girls, we're praying that he does have that full recovery. And in the interim, of course, we'll have fill-in commentators. But Bob's been a long servant of harness racing and race calling in general up in that area. So we wish him all the best and the family.
All right, John, thank you for that. And we'll catch up again very soon.
Certainly, Greg. Good to have you back.
Thank you. There he is, John Dummersy, the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales, giving us a report of what happened at Bathurst on Saturday night. Yeah, if you didn't see it, we will catch up with Ben Hagney, who will join us at the end of the show. But he was one of the electricians that got the lights back on there at Bathurst. It's a really good story with Ben, because he used to drive. He was a young guy that grew up in the sport, was a driver. I still think he's got his license, but he is also an electrician. He's got his own business, and he's got a horse. He and a few mates are racing a horse called Call Me Queen Bee, and he's got a lot of first-timers into the game. And every time there's a feature meeting, he hires a marquee on the Bathurst track. And just it happened that when the lights went out on Saturday night, bang, there's Ben and his mates, the electrician, up in the marquee having a night out. So who do they call upon to come and fix the lights? Ben and his mates to fix the lights. It It couldn't have happened any better for them. But David Jack, he's had success at a Gold Crown Carnival before. He won the Gold Crown with Wirubla. That's going back a few years ago. But he also won a Gold Tiara. He's got the set now. He had some success throughout the carnival. In fact, he won the trot as well. But David would be very happy with the performance of Major Kiss. And she won the Gold Tiara on Saturday night. And David's joining me. Morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
Mate, really well. You must have been tickled pink with her performance on Saturday night because she was super brave.
Yeah, she was very brave. I mean, coming into the final and drawing barrier eight, we thought we might have had a job ahead of us, but we were very happy with the heat run. You know, she had a pretty soft run in the heat, actually, and I thought she went very well, and I thought, oh, we get a good draw. We're right in this, and I mean, then drawing barrier eight, but you have to be positive, and it's all turned out pretty good.
Just having a look, you mentioned that heat win, she went forward. You didn't drive her there, but she went forward and she just sprinted her last 800 metres and she was super fast. So yep. We knew that she was really quick. But as mentioned, on Saturday night, you had to really show how tough she was and you went wide from the last 1,000 metres and she just kept finding.
Yeah, no, it was a terrific run. I just sort of thought we, from the wide barrier draw, if you sort of, you notice sometimes there in these feature races, if you work too hard, you burn too much petrol, you know, and you haven't made much ground. And so I did have a look. I thought, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. I thought we'll come across if there's a position there, but they come out in a pretty strong line. So I thought we'll take a sit. And then I sort of did bank on her knowing that she is pretty strong, and I thought, if I don't make a move sooner, you leave it later going down the back. Horses pull out in front of you, and then sometimes you're four wide instead of three wide. But she, when I asked her to move up, she really travelled up strong. She just travelled beautiful. Yeah.
The beautiful story with her is the fact that you've had the breed right through. Like you went and you purchased Lombo Powwow, the Grand Dam, from Mick Lombardo when he had his dispersal sale. Now, that'll be going back a few years now.
Yeah, that is now. I don't know how long, but probably could be 10 years, I guess. We've bred a couple of winners. Well, we bred Kiss Kenny out of her. We bred two winners out of her. I think she had two foals before we bought her. We bred three. One didn't make the races. Two have won. Another one won a horse called Rock and Roll Hanover horse called DC10. It had a lot of ability, but very unsound. Lucky to win a race, but only because he had so much ability, he won a race. So we've sort of been, we were lucky to have her, and because we bought her pretty cheap at that sale. She won a heat at Bathurst, as you know, and run second in the final. So that sort of, well, I thought this is all right. And then Kiss Kenny's done a reasonable job. She won a heat too, run fourth in the final. But this filly's better than a mother anyway, you know, and always showed a bit since she was broken in, more or less. Yeah.
Why did you pick Art Major? Just because Art Major's...
you don't have to ask me that. He's just a great sire, isn't he? You know, year after year, and he just keeps producing them. I just thought, well, we've just got to try and upgrade a bit. Like this filly's mother, like Kiss Kenny, was by Kenneth J. Well, at the time, and even now, better the light's a bit too expensive for my. And so Kenneth J. was only a son of his, a pretty, like, probably by today's standard, a brigade stallion, but he's still a son of the great sire. So, and the Art Major, better the light, well, you can't go much better. And as you said, Art Major's feature himself. I think if you go through it, even just the carnival up there, he had a heap of horses line up in, you know, finals of all the races.
What do you do with Major Kiss now?
Oh, mate, I'll probably just keep ticking her over, probably a little freshen up a bit. You sort of can't drop the ball too much. The races are coming around, I think, in June. I think the Vic Breds for Victoria are on, and then straight following after that, you know, you've got the Breeders' Crown Heat. So we'll just probably a little freshen up and just see, you know, what else is on in between.
Well, you always seem to have a nice baby in the stable. There's no doubt about that. And obviously Major Kiss is another one. Well done and congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
There he is, David Jack, the trainer of Major Kiss, taking out the Bathurst Gold Tiara final. And just noticed in the steward's report, they didn't miss him. He got a $2,000 fine for his whip use in the concluding stages. $50,000 first prize money. But he does own the and breed. We bred and owns the winner. But they got him for $2,000 for his whip use in the concluding stages. But she was a really tough performance with the Major Kiss being forced to go three wide. Her overall heat time wasn't fast, but I think I made the point last week on the show that her last 800 was by far the fastest. And I think the only horse that went faster than her in both the Crown and the Tiara for the final 800 metres might have been College Chapel. She was very, very dominant. Gary Meredith. Now, he is a man who's had some great success over the past few years in partnership with his wife and Bernie Hewitt. They've had some great horses and they've won plenty of races, horses like All Night Raid, All Night Kiss, Royal Story, and now they've got their hands on a really nice two-year-old by the name of College Chapel. Now, I must admit, I was a bit surprised when College Chapel won on Saturday night. He won the Gold Crown, and I saw Bernie come up after driving the winner, and Kath Hewitt came up, Bernie's wife, and I spotted Marg come down and collect the trophy, but I didn't see Gary. I thought, this is a bit weird, and I interviewed Marg after the race. I said, where's Gary? And she said, he's at home. And I said, why is that? Well, let Gary tell the story why he was at home. Gary's joining us on the show. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Greg.
Where were you?
I was at home with a bunged up knee.
What happened?
Well, I was unloading hay a couple of weeks ago, and I kept carrying it and throwing it up on the stack with one leg, and that leg sort of gave me a lot of trouble. And then 2 weeks later, I was hobbling around. I actually went to the Crown, to the heats, and watched the young horse win the heat there. And hobbled around the sale the next day, and I said to Mark, I said, this leg's not getting any better, though. It's getting worse, you know. So anyway, I tolerated it, and my daughter's a doctor, and she hooked me up for a MRI.
Yep.
Yeah, and which I've just done now, actually, and it got worse. Just before the day before the Crown, I was carrying groceries in, and I bent down and put the groceries on the ground, and they just went on me, and I collapsed to the deck, and that's where I stayed.
Well, lucky it wasn't the horse.
Well, that's what I said to Bern when I rang Bern up. He was so disappointed that I wasn't coming, and I said, oh, mate, I can't. I really wish I could, but I really can't, and the kid's telling me that, Dad, you keep off it, so you got to do as you're told, and I did. And anyway, we got away with it. We sat at home with the grandkids and some of the kids, and we watched him win, and it was fantastic.
Well, hopefully the victory took a little bit of your mind off the pain. The victory on Saturday night was something very special. 26-4 out of the gate. He went 154.5. He broke the two-year-old track record. He looks something right out of the box.
To be honest with you, when I took him to Bernie's, I took photos of him and before he left, and I put it on Facebook page, and I actually put on it, and I said, "This horse is an unreal little horse." I said, "Watch for him for the Gold Crown," and that's where I left it at that. And when I took him over to Bern's, I said, "Bern, this horse is a special horse. He does things I've never seen young horses do." I said, he's a quick learner, he's quick at everything. I said, then have a look at him. He looked awesome. And I said, if he doesn't go, then I'm a bad judge. And he said, anyway. So I went back a couple of weeks later, and he said, Gary, you better come and have a look at this colt work. And I said, okay. So we went out, and he had a filly there that he was working with him. And, oh, look, when I seen him work, I came back in, and I said, Bern, we haven't got a good horse, we've got a champion. And this is 2 weeks after he had broken in. And he said, oh, well, I don't know about that. And I said, no. I said, no, I know what you're like. I said, you know, you don't say anything. But I said, I'm telling you, that horse is a champion. Anyway, he progressed on, and we were all excited from the go. So we started writing up what we're going to put him in and everything else. And he just got better and better. And he was just, yeah, we're ecstatic. And to think that we actually bred the horse and everything else. But he, you know, a good horse lets you know they're a good horse, and he let us know real quick.
He's hard to explain when you see him because he's not overly tall. He's not massively tall, but he's built. He's really big. He's in terms, yeah. He's not tall like a 3 year old. He's not a tall horse, but he's very solid. And Bernie said like he's a little bit big in his size, but he's and that worries him a little bit. But the size doesn't worry him, if that makes sense. And I think I said in the coverage on Wednesday night, on Saturday night, he looks like a 3 year old, not height wise, but just in his bulk and his size, and he, obviously he's a colt, so he's he's got a beautiful quarter on him. He's going to furnish into a beautiful horse once he finishes growing.
Oh yeah, all indications the way he goes, he's got the head up. He doesn't wear a head check or anything. He doesn't like a nick on his head. He's got his tail out. He always had a bit of a funny action in front. He was a bit high, and he's turned in, so he had that winging effect.
Mm.
But he's got better. His action's got better. He's always been a strong, powerful little horse. And his action with the head up and the tail out, he gives you the illusion that he's a lot bigger than he is. And he's really not a big horse in height, but he is in Bernie's, meaning that he's thick and everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah,
he certainly is. He certainly is that, and everything the horse has done. Every time I've seen him, the horse has got better. You know, he just looks better. He does better. His attitude's got better. He's just a horse that keeps improving, and we're really looking forward to him. You know, he's having time off. I told Bern not to bring him home because I always bring him home and spell him, and I said I don't want to bring that colt home. I said leave him with you, and you look after him. Don't change his routine, and just look after him. You know, do what you like, but give him a little bit of work if you want. You're the trainer, but I prefer him to stay at home and leave him in his environment because he's thriving there.
How did you pick Mark 3?
Mac 3, like I said previously, I wasn't big on pedigrees with standard breeds. I love breeding, but I was never involved so much in standard breeds, and when we bought the first two, I bought the little colt that I was going to all-night raid. I bought him because he was out of a no-nits mare, out of an albatross mare, and I thought, I knew at the time that was one of the greatest crosses in standard breeds, and I thought, I'd like to buy that little horse, go and have a look at him. If he adds up, I'd just like to buy him and take him home and do him myself. So I knew a little bit, but I didn't know enough, and but his sire was just a horse, just an ordinary sire, and I thought, well, we might be able to get away with it, and it proved what I was thinking then right. He proved it right. He went on 112 races, 11 seconds, 11 third, that little horse, and nobody wanted him. We got him for 2,000. So I thought, well, I'm going to get into this breeding. You know, I want to know more about breeding. I love breeding. My passion is mare and foals. I absolutely love them. And so I was always on the lookout for a nice mare. And when I got more involved in the breeding, I understood them a lot better. This little mare come up, and we went straight over to Pepper Tree, and she was in a yard with her half sister Kiralee Joy, and she said, I said, are they both for sale? And she said, no, only little Mel Joy. And I said, she's only little. And she said, don't worry, Gary, this is Belinda Richardson, one of the nicest girls I've ever met in the harness racing industry. She's a gem. And she said, come and have a look at the Christian Cullen colt. So I went down, and we went down in the paddock and had a look at the Christian Cullen colt, and gee, he was a nice horse. He was a big, strong colt. He was back at the knees, which I didn't like, but otherwise he was a big, strong colt, and he convinced me that mare can grow nice size foals, that'll do, and that's the right cross. I said to Belinda, she said, what do you want to send the mare to if you buy her? And I said, she said, we've got Rock and Roll Heaven and that. And I said, no, I want to go to Mac 3. But I said, he's booked out. And she said, oh, well, I'll make a phone call, see if I can get you in. And I said, oh, great. So Belinda rang up. It was John from Alibar, John Coffey from Alibar, and he actually gave us a service. And not only that, he gave us 10% off. So we paid up front and said, yep, that's the horse we're going to. That's the one we want. But I studied the pedigrees in that family. That's a sensational family. And that direct scooter cross That's the cross in that family. You know, there's another one. I don't know if you know, but there's another Fitzpatrick got a foal now. Leonidas, I think his name is.
Yep.
Two runs for 2 1s. Well, let's buy Max three out of an art major mare, Rogers Joy, who's out of Bella Joy, and Bella Joy is the dam. Bella Joy and Mel Joy are full sisters. So they've got two in that family. They're going all right. It just keeps adding up, you know, Max 3 or Direct Scooter or Horses Like Some Beat Somewhere, which is another one. Sicario is another one. And a little filly running around, Good Time Heaven, I think, from last year. The family just keeps producing good horses, and that's the cross for that family. So that's what I've done. The mare went back to Max 3 and she missed, unfortunately, and unfortunately he passed away, so... The options we had with the mare since then have been Some Beat Somewhere, which she missed again this year because they blamed it on the frozen semen. And so before the season was over, we sent the little mare to Always Be Mickey. So she's in foal to Always Be Mickey.
Oh, well, it's exciting times, and we can look forward to College Chapel continuing on the feature races this season and next. It's exciting times for you as well, Gary. We wish you all the best of luck with your knee, and we will be following College Chapel for the rest of the season and the rest of his career. Good luck with him.
Thanks very much, Greg. All the best.
Thank you. Gary Meredith, the owner and breeder of the winner of the Gold Crown on Saturday night. And that, of course, was College Chapel. We'll have a quick chat with Benny Hagney. Just quickly, there was King of Swing, a horse that raced on a Thursday night at Gloucester Park. I had a quick chat with Gary Hall Sr. yesterday about his new addition to the stable. We spoke about him. He wasn't disappointed with the defeat. He was a 10s-on favourite that got beaten in the Derby Prelude. He said, don't be too disappointed. He said the run was still very good. He said, look, he can still win the Derby. He said, don't be surprised if he is more of a Golden Nugget horse than a Derby horse. He thinks that he'll be better once he has a bit of a break. Ben Hagney, he's a man that's been around horses for a very long time. He's not a very old man, and he's a very good electrician, as he proved on Saturday night. And he's joining me on the show. Morning, Ben, how are you?
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, not bad, yourself?
Mate, really well. How long have you been involved in harness racing?
Yeah, it's been a while now. I probably started when I was about 8 or 9. Just with my family, I've always had horses and that, and then... Mum and Dad have got a few horses they train themselves and spent a lot of time out at Burnie and Cast. And I drove a bit there for a fair while, 4 to 6 years. And then I probably haven't had to drive for 2 or 3 years now, but still involved in it and still like the game. So, yeah.
And you went to the sales and you bought a couple of horses, but Call Me Queen Bee's probably the best one, and you've had a lot of fun with her, but you've basically syndicated it and got a few mates into it, a few first timers, and you're having great fun with her.
Yeah, she's been an awesome little filly for us. My good mate Matt Rue went down to sales and rung me up on the way home and said, I've just put my hand up and brought a horse. I need some owners for it. That's how it really come about. And so I said, leave it with me. I ring a few blokes and rang a couple of mates. And my one, Peter Weeks, he's never owned a horse. He runs a cafe in town. Mark McManus, he's had a couple of horses with Bernie and Paul Oxley. So, and then myself. So, yeah, we were able to throw together a bit of money and buy her and get 25% each, and she's been a real nice little filly for us.
But the beauty of it is, you guys, every time she races in a nice race there at Bathurst, you rent a marquee for the night, and you put on a bit of a party, and you enjoy the night out.
Yeah, that's it. We have a great time. There's a lot of people who we talk about her and follow her, and she's got a bit of a liking around town now because she's sort of quite successful early on, and we grab a truck and put a band on, and Danny and Marianne at the club, they're awesome. They help us out and we buy some grog off them, and we just put a bit of a section up on the home straight there, and have a real good time. That's good.
But then on Saturday night, race 4, she was about to race 2 or 3 minutes before her race, bang, the lights go out. But then you're an electrician, you businesses going gangbusters. You're going really well, but all of a sudden they need some electricians to try and get the lights to work. So all of a sudden the party stops and you and your cousin and a few of your workers decide to see if you can get the lights back on.
Yeah, it was a bit funny. I was just starting to get a bit nervous before the race and finding my spot up on the hill, and the lights went out, and I sort of just stayed calm for a bit because I didn't know whether they'd just flick me straight back on or what would go on. And my father, Tony, he rang me. He's the track curator. He said, you better come down and help me. Cousin Jack, he's the on-course electrician. And so I went down, so I raced down there and gave him a hand. It was a big team effort. There was Hudson White and McCoy White, all I used to work with, and obviously my cousin Jack. And we mucked around there for a while and were able to get a result in the end, which was good.
Jack did a fantastic job because we had John Dummersy on at the start of the show, and he said we had basically postponed the meeting. Jack came up to John and said, look, please give us 15 more minutes. We can have one more go here, and I'm sure we can get these lights back on for you, but you've just got to give us 15 more minutes. And it was Jack coming up and saying that kept that race meeting on Saturday night. It was a fantastic job by all of you fellas. You did a great job.
Yeah, it worked out well. It was sort of it was tough and go there for a while where we could do it. And, of course, we weren't just playing with sticks and a bit of fire there. It was quite dangerous stuff. So we sort of had we had that in the back of our mind and just trying to work out a bit of a plan. And Danny had sort of said, how long is it going to be? And we had a bit of a chat between us and said, look, it's going to be a good couple of hours. I don't think we can do it. There's got to get gear from wholesales, get them done lock and that sort of stuff on an Easter weekend. And then, we're able to work out another little plan, which we thought might have worked, and had a yarn to Danny and sort of said, can you give us 15, please? And he said, what's going on? And just sort of said, well, we've got a bit of a plan. Just if you can just hold it for another 15, we'll give you a definite answer. And we sort of knew it'd probably take us a good 25 halfer, but we just sort of kept playing the game and saying, just give us 10, 15. Buttering them along a bit, and yeah, in the end, it pulled off, and it was a great night all around.
Mate, call me Queen Bee. Is the plans to take her to Victoria for the Victoria Oaks?
Not at this stage. I think we're just going to. She's having five or six days off in the paddock. She was probably a little disappointing on Saturday night. She's had a big couple of months. To be fair, like she's probably won up close to 30,000-40,000 in the last month coming into this race. But we're just going to give her a week or so off, and then probably a trial and a race, and then she'll head towards the Breeders' Challenge each on the 30th of May at Bathurst. So.
Beautiful. All right, mate. Well, good job to everyone involved on Saturday night, and good luck with Call Me Queen Bee for the rest of the season.
Good on you. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Ben. Benny Hagney, good job by everyone involved on Saturday night. Cozzy, we've gone a few minutes over. I'll catch you again next Tuesday in the gig on Sky 2 tonight from 6 o'clock. We've got a special on James Rattray.
Terrific. Good on you, Greg.
Thank you, mate.
Great week.
Thank you.